Welcome to SMR's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a recent study that found that no particular brand of helmet reduces the risk of sustaining a sports-related concussion or reducing the severity of sports-related concussion symptoms compared with other brands. Furthermore, mouthguards that are marketed to reduce the risk of concussion may not reduce the risk of concussion. With increased public awareness of sports-related concussions, different football helmet and mouthguard manufacturing companies have begun advertising campaigns claiming their helmets reduce head impact forces and thus reduces the risk of sports-related concussions. To determine the accuracy of these claims, the authors of this abstract conducted a prospective study of 36 Wisconsin high schools during the 2012 football season to determine if any particular brand of helmet or mouthguard may be associated with a reduced risk of sports-related concussion or symptom severity. The athletes completed preseason demographic surveys detailing the type of helmet and mouthpiece they would wear. School athletic trainers reported incidence and severity of concussions. The authors defined severity of concussion as the number of participation days lost. Overall, 115 athletes sustained 116 sports-related concussions. The helmet manufacturers in this study were Riedel, Schutt, and Zenith. Mouthguards were either generic models or customized mouthguards that were custom fitted by a dental professional or specifically marketed to reduce the risk of concussion. The authors found no difference in the rates or severity of sports-related concussions by type of helmet or years when the helmets were purchased. Interestingly, the rate of concussion for players who wore a generic mouthguard was lower than the rate for those who wore a specialized or custom fitted mouthpiece. The preliminary results of this study are noteworthy because they contradict claims by helmet manufacturing companies that products now exist that can reduce the risk of sports-related concussion. The results also importantly show that using an older helmet does not lead to an increased risk of sports-related concussion. The results went one step further to challenge claims of mouthguard companies who market specialized products that are reported to reduce the risk of concussion. In a market where parents are trying to find any way to help protect their children, knowledge is power. These results support the statements by the most recent International Conference on Concussion in Sport that there is no evidence that any particular helmet or additional type of padding can reduce the risk of concussion. This doesn't take away from the fact that helmets are designed to reduce impact forces and the risk of skull injuries, while mouthguards reduce the risk of oral and dental trauma. A parent can make better educated decisions about his or her child's participation and protection in football by understanding that the risk of concussion is inherent to the game and that no particular helmet or product has been shown to reduce the risk of concussion. If this study is reported in a full-length article, it will certainly be discussed again on sportsmedres.org, since the full-length article will likely provide a better understanding of these findings. This past week, we also had three other posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first post described a clinical trial which found that over 4 years, patients who received a double bundle ACL reconstruction had better function but no other differences compared with patients who received a single bundle ACL reconstruction. However, meniscal status at the time of surgery may be an important risk factor for developing knee osteoarthritis. The second post discussed a study that found that there is a low risk of surgical site infection after an ACL reconstruction. Patients with a hamstring autograft may be at a higher risk for surgical site infections than patients with a bone patellar tendon bone autograft. And finally, the fourth post described a study that found that athletes with a concussion may not engage in coping strategies to the same extent as athletes with musculoskeletal injuries. Furthermore, males reported less frequent coping responses than females, which suggests that efforts to improve coping mechanisms may need to use sex-specific strategies. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a news article discussing an abstract presented at the American Academy of Pediatrics National Conference, which found that athletes who spent more than twice as much time in organized sports than in free play are more likely to be injured and have a serious overuse injury. So remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.